Okay. Okay. We did mention that even in the phase two, in the dark period, in the period where Choshech Mechas Aretz, there will be, as a temporary measure sometimes, thank you, the Rishus will be given to certain tzaddikim, whatever, to also do open miracles as a temporary measure when Klal Yisrael needed certain chizukim. But that's not the main theme of this tekufa. Our job is to megal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Nistah, not for him to megal himself to us in the revealed. I don't know where we got up to. At the bottom of Kufpei there?
Kufpei, yes.
Yeah?
Gila.
Kufwei?
Yeah, I think we got one more scene
here. Gilo Amoivsim Bebemea Hes, the truth is managed. We started. We turned over the page.
I thought we were top of
Kufpei. I thought we were at the top of Kufpei as well. That's where I'm marked. Okay.
You were here. I think we did the
first.
You were here. No, yesterday was the breakfast show.
Couldn't
have been yesterday. Aiden Zayman, you know. Couldn't have been there because you were with me somewhere else. Okay. Okay, we said that. All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's go from Kufpeis. Okay. Ulam nisim Elohim beget a truth is manit. These nisim that we have in the Kuf of Ixer Mashiach Shara'en, ze ika hamachavin vanidoresh mido ikfis Mashiach. That's not the Ikka avoided today, or the miracles, or the Moifsim. We run after them, but we'll see Zeloa Derech. Ikka Tafkedeinu Liyois Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. Our job is to be the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, of Rashi HaKadosh. We'll Kabbal as Kol HaVoleinu B'tmimus U'B'Simcha. Our job is to Kabbal what's happening B'tmimus U'B'Simcha. What about Ishtadus and Davening? We'll deal with it, because that everyone's going to ask. Before they ask, we'll... You just accept it, you don't do anything. There's a chiv ishtal, there's a chiv tefillah. Okay, we'll discuss why that is in this marechet. In this marechet, those two things make no sense. If you start buying into this level of a token, you'll come to the conclusion that tefillah and ishtal this makes no sense and you'll be correct. So we'll have to deal with those and we will, Bezrat Hashem. Bamna, anshei imura yeda li smayach bi yisurim el akablam betimimus. People that have attained imuna, they know how to be sameach the yusurim and to mekabel them betmimus. Listen to the story. Zichreine ki betkufas ashor hispashnu kegoyim veistatnu mach mesamatz. When they were in the Holocaust, so they dressed up as goyim and they hid all over the place in order to avoid what was going on. One of the Friday nights, they got caught by the Nazis. Yamach Shmo. He was a young boy. He was 5 or 6 years old at the time. Sabi Zatzal, Rab Amram Gutstetner, Hashim Yochum Dovul, Kibul Makos Retzach Mina Chaylim Agermanim. Makos retzach min hachayalim hagermanim kesheves tzachok al ponov. He was being beaten to death by the Germans with a big smile on his face. Talbot's grandfather. Yeled hayiti, v'shalti es abi. I was a little boy and I asked my father, Abba, madu es sabbat tzachek? Why is sabbat laughing? Why is he smiling? Imagine the scene. There's a six-year-old in the middle of the Holocaust pretending to be goyim. They've just been caught by the Germans. He's watching the Nazis beat his grandfather to death. And he's got a question. Why is my grandfather laughing and smiling? He told me, Sabi is happy because he's about to be killed as Kiddush Hashem. Esat Smolakach, and he's been preparing himself for this. Bepurim b'shona shelifne kain b'yaisa b'gilufin rakat im amizat salva amaloi. The Purim before, he was dancing with my father, that means son-in-law. V'amalo Aaron, and he said to him, Aaron, b'shabbos b'shana abo nir koid b'gan Eden. I'm going to be dancing in Gan Eden. Next year, this time, we're not going to be dancing here. I'm going to be dancing in Gan Eden. That was the chinuch he got. 6 years old, and that was the chinuch he got. Neidah. I heard the story from him. Nifle of a neidah. You have to stop and just catch your breath from a story like that. A chapa story like that. He didn't have to go for therapy. It wasn't post-traumatic stress syndrome. You pick yourself up and you go. You pick yourself up and go. Because you know that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and some is laughing because they're trying to kill me as Kiddush Hashem, and I'm only too happy. Sounds a bit like Rabbi Akiva, no? Nifla v'nayra. Yudi achai be'emun ha'shleim ha'samayach ala schut ha'nifla she'nifla v'chelkei. A Jew that's living with emunah, Shleima, is enormously happy because of the merit that fell onto him. To be like Rabbi Akiva and he is Chabura, and to give up one's life, so Kiddush Hashem, Sharei Haruga Malchus, Ein Adam Yoichel Lamud B'Mechitzosei. As the Gemara tells us, the Haruga Malchus, someone who dies as Kiddush Hashem, no one can get near there. The Beis Yosef used to daven continually that he should be zeichet to die as Kiddush Hashem. If you're going to die anyway, which is most of us have that problem. We're not going to get out of here alive. I think all of us have that problem. You're going to die anyway. Well, there's a big mailer in dying as Kiddush Hashem. We don't daven for that because we're not sure we're able to do it properly. But Yosef could daven for it. We don't daven for nishenus like that. We have a different nisoin we'll see now. Our problem is not dying as Kiddush Hashem. Our problem is living as Kiddush Hashem, and it's much harder. Dying as Kiddush Hashem you do once, and then it's over. You know, if you're a smoker and you have to give up smoking for one day, not that difficult. The problem is when you have to do it day in and day out. Dying as Kiddush Hashem, I'm not saying it's easier. One shouldn't be given tests like that. Well, it's once. Living as Kiddush Hashem, day in and day out, doing this, and that's our avoider. We'll see.
No one's coming around and killing us like them.
Well, they are. How many people have died as Kiddush Hashem in the last 2-3 weeks in this country, Rachman and Itzlan? Died as Kiddush Hashem, of course, of course. The Gamma Ruga Malchus.
No, what I mean is that we're living in a time where it's day to day, it's not a problem like 60, 70 years ago, 100 years ago.
No, but it's another problem. We have another problem of dying as Kiddush Hashem. We'll see, we'll get there. We are being challenged on a day to day, moment by moment, nisoyin challenge of living as Kiddush Hashem. Giving up your life on Kiddush Hashem is one nisoyin. Living as Kiddush Hashem in the face of enormous nisoyinus, not so posh. Not so posh. Ask any 15 year old, 16 year old today, 12 year old today. Well, it's like living day in, day out as Kiddush Hashem with the seductions of the street out there. The Lord push it. Okay, you'll get there, we'll get there. Slowly. Let's go back to the way we started this chapter. The two levels of Betochen v'Hashem. Shtei hen emes. Even though we said the first level, the Lord kashur aleinu, it's got nothing to do with us, not shaykh to us. Nevertheless, they're both emes, and you need both at some level. For sure, there's a level of betochen where a person poteachs, and he can be very stubborn and get what he wants. As a result of his betochen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn the natural world upside down and inside out, in order to fulfill his request. The Ma'aba HaPela, Gam B'nai Adam Pshutim Usugolim B'Shut B'chaim Legilui Ma'ein Eilu. Even what we call simple people, you know, simple Jews, but even not the grace of tzaddikim, can also sometimes be zoiche to aspects of this. However, like we saw in the Meshach Chochmah, you have to know which aspect of betochen to use when and where. The level of betochen that's relevant to this generation, our job is to magalis, to reveal the love that HaKadosh Baruch has to us that's hidden. There you can go to Rashi. Tomim tiyem Hashem Elokecho. Shekol abo aleinu we makabel betmima ubesimcha. Because we know that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person lives with this level of betochen, not the betochen, I'm such a big baal betochen that I ask for whatever I want and I get whatever I want. No, I'm not the biggest baal betochen. But I know that whatever happens to me comes from Hashem and it's good. Started first intellectualizing that, understanding the seichel of that. It has to be that way. It's muhrak that way. And then you'll slowly start dripping it into your avarian. Yeah, into their avarian. And the Chovet Slavova says, the person is chayv liftoyach b'Hashem, b'kol mach shavoysov, u'b'kol avarov, and all your limbs. What does that mean? How do I have betochen with my knees? That doesn't mean your knees. B'kol mach shavoysov, understand, you have to have betochen in all your thoughts. That when something's happened to you, you can think correct thoughts. No, that everybody can do. They don't call kach kashem. But what's happening in your body when you're thinking those correct thoughts? The body doesn't always respond positively. You can know that this nisoyin is coming from a kodesh bochu, vakolatova, vakol beseda, and you can still be, the body can, you know, the butterflies in the stomach. That's what the Chovetz Chaim is saying. You have to have a tochen in the avarim as well. The guf has to be benuchu beyishuv hadas. That's something else. I don't know if that's betochen. That's something else. That's something else. That's having trained your body, yeah, to react in a way that's in line with Torah. The body's reflex reaction is not to embarrass somebody. It doesn't go from seichel to guf. That Maaser Reb Moshe is one of the total history of the Jewish people. I don't know if there were too many Maasim like that. That a person had absorbed Torah Hashem so much that his body's reflex reaction is not to embarrass a person. That's the only way to see that story, because otherwise, what's the message? If I would warn you before that I'm going to slam your door, your fingers in the door, and if you scream, you're going to embarrass somebody, you could probably be able to withstand the test. Because you know that it's about to happen and you're prepared for it. But you do that as a reflex. You know, I tap your knee with a hammer and your leg goes like that. Reb Moshe was trained himself that his body couldn't embarrass another person. That's the niflitik of that story. There was no time for him to think. There was no time for him to go, okay, don't embarrass. The body didn't react. That's a moritical dog. How do you train yourself? That's
it's the control of the body.
Yeah, but it's that the body is, it's automatic.
Yeah.
To control your body using your thought, that's already a darga. I can't even twist my baby toe over the one next to it. You know, you're supposed to be able to do that if you're in control of your body. I don't know if that's something you should work on. I don't know how much, but that's total control of the body. You can do that. But that the body reacts reflexive to a moral imperative? Taseotze. And that's the tafkid, by the way, the tafkid of a Jew. That's what Avraham Avinu was magala. Is not that we should be holy spiritual people disconnected from the body, but that you should elevate our bodies to the level of spiritual. That's the tafkid of a Jew. Is that the body should be able to go into Olam Haba as well. See the Ramban. Oh, that's the mission. That's what Moshe is
talking about.
It's talking about betochen. Talk about betochen. It's talking about at the level of intellectual, you know that this is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in your seichel, you find everything's good. But the body's still anxious and nervous. So yeah, you're taking that intellectual knowledge and you're dripping it into the goof that you're completely calm and relaxed. I'm not even sure. Once again, I don't know because I haven't looked into it, but it could be the stories they tell about the Briskarov when they were running from the Nazis and all the miracles were happening and the Einod Novodos or whatever. He wasn't sitting there with his feet up, you know, smoking his pipe, chilling. He was. It's hard to know with the Briskarov what that was. Whether that was genuine, he was genuinely worried. I don't know if he was doing it to arouse his son, to daven hard. I don't know. Well, it wasn't that we're just sitting there like, you know, mañana. You know that someone's coming to kill you. That could be, Rav Pinkus spoke about that a lot. That's the line in the piyut that we say, you don't say it, but a lot of people say on Rosh Hashanah, it's called Keter Malchus. Rav Shimon Ibn Gavriel wrote a piyut called Keter Malchus. There's a line in there that goes more or less like this. If it's Gavriel alai kasecho, if your anger will strengthen itself upon me, Hashem, evrecho mimcho, I'll run away from you. Where to? Eilecho. When you're running away from Hashem because you're scared, where do you run to? You run to your tati, you run to Hashem. Evrecho mimcho, eilecho. So Pinkus once explained this, if the Briskarov, the Briskarov's betochen, while we're discussing betochen, and it's Thursday, so we'll discuss betochen. We'll discuss betochen as Roshach once came into the Briskarov of Rosh Hashanah. The Briskarov was very anxious. I am od mutrad. So Roshach said to him, what's the problem? What are you so upset about? He said, what's the matter? Rosh Hashanah. So Roshach said, yeah, but the Midrash says betochen anu. Betochen anu. We fine. We don't know. The Briskarov said to him, how do I know? So like, the Midrash says so. What do you mean? How do you know? He said, how do I know? So Roshach understood. He didn't understand. The Briskarov said to him like this. There's two chazals that associate each other about Rosh Hashanah. The Midrash in Achinami says, Betuchin anu, we told. We put on Big Day Shabbos and we mistape and we have Sudas and the Yom Tov because we Betuchin anu. But the Gemara, I think it's the Gemara in Megillah, no, it's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, why doesn't Klal Yisrael, the Malachim, ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, why doesn't Klal Yisrael say, Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? Hashem says to him, Sifrei Chaim Umavus Bosach Lefonai Reimer Rim Shira. The books of life and death are open in front of me. You want them to sing Shira? What's going on? You have a Tuchan on them. So I say, hello, what's the problem? So he said like this. He brought this shtickel from the piyut, from Keser Malchus. You know when you can have betochen that everything will be okay? When Sifrei Chaim Umavus Bosach Lefonai, you can't say hello because you're too scared. Then you run to HaKadosh Baruch and you daven, then you can be Boteya. But you can't just be, well, Hashem Yazor, call it Tova. First, you have to recognize that the problem's coming from Hashem. And you're running away from Hashem because you're scared of this problem. And then you realize, one second, the only person that can help you with this problem is Hashem. So you go to Hashem to get help, then you can be Boteya. But talking doesn't mean Hashem Yazor. That's not betochen. That's sobbing responsibility. Person's got a panosa problem, God forbid. There's not a poshut problem. He says, Hashem Yazor. Why should Hashem Yazor? He's the one that gave you the problem in the first place. Hashem gives you a problem and you fling it back at him and say, you take care of it. But he gave you the problem. So you have to first recognize you have a problem that's coming to you from Hashem. And you have to do what you have to do. Then you can be Boteach because you've done everything you were supposed to do. But you can't just fob it off and say, well, Hashem Yazor. Really? If you're such a big batochen that you know that Hashem's going to help you, why aren't you a big batochen that know that he's the one that's touching you? Nachon. And that, says the Briskarov, is true batochen. True batochen is not everything that comes to you. Just go, kol tov, kol tov, kol tov. That's a starting place. It's part of the avoider. But the ikavod is to recognize where this is coming from. If you're such a bal batochen that Hashem's going to solve your problems, then you better get it into your kishkas that he's the one that created the problem. Because who else made this problem for you? The bank manager? The makolet owner? The next door neighbor? Lo, it's Hakol Hashem. So Hashem's giving you this problem. And he wants you to deal with it and recognize where it's coming from. But you first have to be anxious and worried about the problem so that you'll daven to Hashem. If you just fob it up and say, oh, Hashem will take care of it, everything's fine. You're in real trouble.
What's the ideal?
That's what the Brisker Rav said.
I'm trying to work out what the ideal is. Like, if we were to play out a hypothetical scenario.
The ideal is they're coming to kill us. You better start thinking about what you're going to do about that. As opposed, because Hashem is trying to get your attention. He wants something from you.
You should be anxious that Hashem wants something from you, not from the Nazis.
No, there's no Nazis.
No, exactly. Don't be anxious that.
About the Tochen.
You're anxious over it.
Who's the people say you're running away from? Ebrachomimcha. Where do you run when you're running away from Hashem? To him. Well, why am I running away from you if I'm running to you? That's the vault. If you're not running away, you won't be able to run to. That's the vault of the Brisker Rav.
The anxiety is not that you've got that there's no money in the bank. The anxiety is that
Hashem,
but he's going to solve the problem.
Yeah, but you have to do what you have to do first. You have to daven, you have to mechazek your betochen, you have to, I don't know, whatever you have to do. Leif and Sekaisel, I don't know, whatever your job is.
It's going to be fine as long as I recognize and do what I got to do as my part of the deal.
No, first it's not going to be fine because someone's coming to kill me and that's Hashem. Therefore, I'm running away from Hashem because I'm anxious. Where do I run? I run to Hashem and I daven and I do whatever I have to do. Then I have menuchas
hanefesh. There's an internal contradiction.
Correct. Always there's a paradox. You will never avoid the internal and eternal paradox. Never. Never. You'll never avoid it.
Why are you nervous or upset about it? Hashem's right there.
Excuse me. Hashem's giving you this problem because he wants a response from you. He can take care of the problem. So why did he give it to you in the first place? Because he wants something from you. When you need to hide away from Hashem, where do you hide? In his shade. That's the paradox. Of course it's a paradox. Show me one thing in this world that's real, that's not a paradox. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep the Mokam on the Harabais. Yeah? And he wakes up in the morning and says, oi, what did I do? Had I known this was the place, I would never have slept here. What came out of that sleep? Everything. The whole dream, the whole story, the whole of Klal Yisrael, that's the whole future of Klal Yisrael, that all came from the sleep. What does he do? He takes the cushion that he used, the stone, and there he makes a mitzvah. That's going to be the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash. This thing that you weren't supposed to do. He slept. If I only knew that, I wouldn't have slept here. And then what do? You take the thing that you shouldn't have done, and that's the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash. There's always a paradox. There has to be a paradox. Where the infinite meets the finite, you're always going to have a paradox. You have to chop the paradox, always. You'll never avoid that. If you're trying to avoid the paradox, you'll always come to Shekel. Because MS has an inbuilt paradox in it. For sure. I don't know what's going to happen. That's what the Brisker Rav say. You can only be betuah. You can only really have enormous betachon and feel completely sure with us when you know what you're supposed to do. So therefore, if I'm at the level of not being able to say halal because sifrei chayim was pasuk lefanai, then betachon anu. So how do I know? That's what he meant. How do I know? How do I know that I've got to the level of sifrei chayim was pasuk lefanai? That I can then be betur. How do I know that I'm Evrachamimcho, that I can Elecho? That's the avoiding betochen. How did this come about? Somebody came to a Pinkus during the Gulf War. She said that he was very nervous and very scared, and he was thinking of leaving the country and going back to America, whatever. What does your Pinkus say? And all his friends are saying, what are you talking about? You know, betochen, Hashem Yazor, who looks after us, blah, blah, blah. And he feels like a bit of a low laugh because everyone's got betochen and he's very nervous. How should he deal with it? So the Pinkus told him this. He said, tell them they don't have betochen. Betochen doesn't mean that the Iraqis are sending Scud missiles in there that can kill hundreds of people, Rahman al-Sam, with one missile. Yeah. And you're just sitting there chilled. I told you they came to Rav Shach when one of the Scuds landed just on the boundary of Bnei Brak. Famous Scud. Of all the Scuds, that was the most famous. That Scud was zeichet to become world famous. That Scud. The mamash landed just outside Bnei Brak on the Ramat Gan side of the boundary. Yeah? One Friday night, Shabbos morning, lo zochei when it was. So they ran to Rav Shach to tell him, what a miracle! Bnei Brak, Ira Torah v'chassidus, Torah mogil u'matzil. What a miracle! Look how the Torah protects us. And landed just outside. Rav Shach said, that's how you see it? I don't see it like that. Even the Talmud of the Biskarov. This that I just told you now from the Biskarov, he told over the Biskarov's husband. He said, I don't see it like that. I'll tell you how I see it. Last night we sat here in our rooms and our homes terrified because there were these missiles flying overhead. And I thought to myself, why is Hashem shepherding with our Leil Shabbos? And I came to the conclusion there's something wrong with my Leil Shabbos, otherwise Hashem wouldn't do this to me. You see miracles. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me, Shach, wake up. Something wrong with your Leil Shabbos. You see, you can look at it either as a not Baal B'tochen and say, wow, a miracle, which it was, by the way. Or you can say, 1 second, why did Hashem send that miracle here in the first place? I'll finish off with one Moedik HaMais. It's my favorite story. This. There was a guy who came to Rav Noach Weinberg. You know, Rav Noach Weinberg used to meet, where did I get up to now? Kuf Pei at the top there. Okay. I don't know where I got up to, whatever. I'm off you. Okay, good. Don't follow me, I'm lost. The guy came to Rav Noach, they said to him, Rabbi, I don't have to come to yeshiva. He said, why not? He said, because in yeshiva you learn about God, and me and God are tough. We like this. Me, I don't know, God and me, we're very close. Rav Noach said, wow, that's going to be an interesting story. Tell me how you and, no, this guy's not from. Tell me how you and God became so close. So I told him, I'm one of these mountain bike fanatics. So I'm driving up a mountain one day, one of these narrow mountain paths, and suddenly there's a truck coming towards me. So I basically three choices. The one is go up against the side of the cliff and get squashed against the cliff. The other is to keep going and get smacked by the truck. The other one is to go off the edge of the cliff. There's a 50-foot drop. So what did I do? I went off the edge of the cliff, 50-foot drop. I landed on a rock ledge, got up, not a scratch. That's not a miracle. Hashem did a miracle for me. I shouldn't believe in God. So I looked at him without flinching and said, tell me, young man, why did Hashem throw you off the mountain in the first place? Hashem's not Superman. It sort of waits for you to fall off a rock and then sort of zoom down and saves you. He threw you off the rock in the first place. You know why? To tell you to go to yeshiva. That's the Biskarov's vote on B'tochen.